And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
How about we just stand up for a moment and as I pray, have a bit of a wiggle around. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to come here and learn more about you and more about prayer. I pray that my words will be your words and that you'll speak through me this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, and all glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So I'm really excited to be here with you over the next 2 weeks to talk about prayer and the prayer life of a follower of God. This week we'll be looking at us talking to God, and next week it'll be listening to God talking to us. Because at its most simplest form, that's all prayer is. It's talking to God and listening to him talk to us, just like you talk to and listen to anyone else that you know and love. So today we're going to look at how to improve your prayer life, how to improve your talking to God. And we're going to do this by having you answer 5 questions. Why do you pray? Where do you go to be alone with God? Helping you find your rhythm of praying, helping you discover your style of praying, and the importance of prayer and fasting. So let's start with why pray. Well, 2 years ago, our daughter Melina turned 21 and she'd saved up all her money and she went overseas on a holiday to Italy. And she was great at keeping in touch with us at the start. I mean, she sent the text message to me the minute her plane landed. She put her Facebook updates up. She put her photos on Instagram. She rang when she ran out of money and needed to borrow some before a holiday pay went in. And one night, she even rang me just to chat. And it was great. But then I had 4 days and nights where I didn't hear anything from her, not a word. And now I know that I could have called her to check that she was okay, but I didn't want to be one of those mothers. So instead, I prayed. And I can remember going and sitting outside and saying to God, oh, God, I'm just longing to hear from Melina. I just want to hear from her in any way. And in my conscious thoughts, God came to me and he said, my precious child, that's exactly how I feel about you. I long to hear from you. I'm even happy when you call me just to ask for more money. Oh, but how I love it when you call me just to chat. So why do we pray? Because God is our loving Father and he just loves it so much when you talk to him. Now, I was very fortunate that I had a great earthly father. So I can really relate to the picture of God as a loving father. But I'm also aware that not everyone in this room is able to do that. And that may be stopping you from having that same level of being able to talk to God in this way. But you may have had a great mother or grandmother or grandfather or teacher or pastor. And it may be helpful to you to change it, to say, why do I pray? Because God is my loving parent or grandparent, and he loves it so much when I talk to him. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. Why else do we pray? Well, we heard from that Bible reading, because Jesus assumes we will. In that Bible reading, 3 times he says, "And when you pray," not if, but when. We pray to get closer to God, to align our will with God's will. And you find the closer that you get to God, the more you'll notice that you're praying not for your will to be done, but for God's will to be done. Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says in Matthew 26, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Jesus prays these words 3 times. We pray to align our will with God's will. We pray to fill up our tank. If our tank is empty, we certainly can't give to anyone else. And I know that when Ian and I go and talk to ministry leaders and pastors and spouses that are facing burnout, when we get to the root of the problem, it's often because they've stopped spending their time with God and they've stopped filling up their tank. I know a couple of weeks ago, I was booked in to do an all-day prayer retreat for a group of ladies from another Baptist church. But I'd had an incredibly busy few weeks and I was empty. And I thought, how on earth am I going to, you know, lead these women in a prayer retreat when I'm empty? So I needed to spend the whole morning the day before with God in his presence, talking to him in his word, listening to him, so that I could fill up my tank and then I was able to go and give to them. So we pray to fill up our tank. We also pray to stay connected to God. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We pray to help us grow our attitude of gratitude. Now, that's not just, you know, thanking God for everything, but it's actually changing ourselves to be able to express our attitude of gratitude. And it's about living your whole life with an expressed thanksgiving towards God. For example, I was always so stressed when I got up every morning about how much had to be done that day. And I knew there was not going to be enough time to get it all done. I was stressed about how many adults I had living in the house with us and that their friends were living with us and always there, and there was so much noise and people. I was stressed about how we were going to pay all our bills, and I was stressed about how on earth was I going to deal with all the phone calls and interruptions that I knew that I was going to have in the midst of that busy day. But I had to learn to have an attitude of gratitude. So instead of stressing and worrying and getting anxious, I decided I'd get up each morning and have my time of attitude of gratitude with God. So I started spending time thanking him that he would help me to get everything done that day that I needed to get done. I thanked him for the fact that he'd given me children and that we were able to help change their unsaved friends' lives by having them live with us and hang around our house and have meals with us. I thanked him that he would provide for all of our needs exactly as he's promised to do. And I thanked him for my job, the blue sky or the rain, and that I had the health and the strength to do that stinking housework that I knew I'd have to do. And you know what? I gradually changed so that I was able to have an attitude of gratitude as I spent time with my father being thankful to him. And the funny thing was that over the next 8 months from the time I started doing this, all of the kids and their friends had all moved out of house and we became empty nesters. But of course, I'm human and it didn't take me long to get back on that treadmill of life and to stop having that attitude of gratitude, my Thanksgiving time with God. And you know, how quickly I descended back down into that pit of despair of, oh, why me? Life's not fair. This is all too hard. Why is this happening to me? Type of thing. So now I'm having to relearn again of putting this into practice again, of getting my attitude of gratitude again. I'm so thankful that God's mercies are new every morning because it gives me a fresh start every day. So what I'm doing now is that I start off my day spending 3 minutes praising God, thanking God, and worshipping God. I have 1 minute praising God, 1 minute thanking God, and 1 minute worshipping God. Because no matter how busy my day's going to be, no matter how many things I have on my to-do list, I know that I can take 3 minutes to set the course of my day being thankful to God. And it's amazing the change that has throughout my day. My favourite verses on prayer are from Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, which you probably know very well. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The final reason of why we pray is because Jesus modelled it for us. In Luke 5, verse 16, it says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus prayed alone and he prayed in public. He prayed before he healing someone and after healing someone. He prayed before meals and he prayed before feeding the 5,000 people. He spent the night in prayer before selecting his 12 disciples, and he prayed before making any important decisions. He prayed for the whole night before his crucifixion. So that's a whole lot of reasons of why we should pray. Let's look at where should we pray. Give it a second.
Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good.
Unlimited, anytime, anywhere minutes. Prayer, the power to connect, powered by God.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Any mothers of small children will know that sometimes on the toilet's the only time that you have any quiet time to have with God. But that's just a silly little clip to show you that you can be absolutely anywhere, everywhere, and God can hear you. But let's look now at how to get to that next level of intimacy with God. And Andrew Murray, in his classic book on prayer, which is called With Christ in the School of Prayer, he teaches us that Jesus wants each one of us to choose for ourselves a special spot where we can meet with him daily. And that spot can be anywhere, but that secret place must be some time with quiet time with our Father. Matthew 6, verse 6 tells us, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Where's your special place where you go to be alone with God? We need to find our rhythm of when it works for you to pray. For me, especially when I had a house full of adults, I found I got up 45 minutes before the rest of the house and I had a coffee with God. I sat on my lounge and that was my special time that I had with God, and that worked really well for me, and that's what I continue to do. Ian, on the other hand, complete opposite. He stays up late and he waits until everyone else goes to bed and then he has his time with God. It doesn't matter when your time is, you've just got to find that rhythm and get into the habit of doing it. Just remember three things. If it's not working, change it. If you're doing it last thing at night and you find you fall asleep every night in the middle of your prayers, maybe that means you need to change it a bit. Remember, it takes 21 days for something to become a habit. That's scientifically proven according to Facebook. I find that for me, when I'm trying to start a new habit, it works best for me to write the next 21 days down on a piece of paper or on my phone. And a bit like, you know, when you do a sticker chart for kids, I actually tick off when I do it each time. And if I get to day 15 and I miss a day, well, you actually got to start right from day one again, start from the beginning again, in order to have your 21 days in a row to become a habit. Have someone to hold you accountable to what you choose to do when you choose to do it. Because, you know, you can always manage to justify something to yourself. It's just one Tim Tam. But you can't fool those that you have hold you accountable. And it's a really powerful tool. So let's look at that in this slide. The likelihood of success is 25% if you make a decision to do something, 40% if you decide when it will happen, 50% if you develop a plan to make it happen, 65% if you tell someone about the plan and decision. But it's 95% likelihood of success if you make yourself accountable to someone. The next thing you need to do is find your style of talking to God. You know, God's made us all unique, and as a part of that uniqueness, there's many different styles of being able to talk to God in a way that you can do that others may not get whatsoever. And I'll just give you a few examples of what I'm talking about here. I love spending time with God in nature. I love walking along the beach with him. I love riding my bike through the bike parks. And for you, that may be your thing, where you can be fishing or out surfing or jogging along bush tracks. You don't have to be sitting still to talk to God. I think we get in this headset that we think we've got to be sitting still. You can be out in nature talking to him. It can be reading his word. There's been many times when we've gone through really hard times and I just haven't known what to pray. But so that's when I'll open God's word to a psalm and read and pray out loud one of the psalms. Because the majority of psalms, that's what they are. They're prayers that people have written in times of anguish or in times of joy. So that may be your thing, your style of praying. It can be worship songs. We so often think, again, that it's got to be just talking. But you can sing your prayers to God, as we've done when we worship God here. It can be just chatting to him. You can probably tell I like a good talk. So God and I have lots of chats, lots of times. It can be as you're doing your daily routine, wherever you are, whenever you want to. It could be journaling, where you like to write out your prayers on paper to God or write a poem to God. Or it can be like we've just done with Jules, a guided Christian meditation. I love doing guided Christian meditations, but, you know, we're all different. if I try and make Ian do one with me, he like comes out in a stress rash because he really doesn't like them. He wouldn't have enjoyed that, Jules. I loved it. Because we're all different. God has made us unique and we've got to find our own styles. If you want to do some guided Christian meditations, a couple of really good resources are on YouTube, The Mindful Christian. Google that on YouTube. And the Abide app, which is a free app on your phone. I'd encourage you to do either of those. The last thing that I want to look at is prayer and fasting. Now, it's something that's not really taught much in churches, but when we look at the first reason of why we fast, as we read in those Bible reading, why do we fast? Because Jesus assumes we will. Twice he said in that reading, and when you fast, not if, when. So why else do we fast? Well, because it gives us more time to spend with God. You use the time you gain from what you've given up to spend that in God's presence listening to him. Because, and fasting, it's not just fasting from food. It may be fasting from social media for a certain time, or fasting from watching your favourite TV show for a week, or it can be giving up a meal a day. And you think of the time it takes with a meal, for example. You know, you've got to work out what am I going to have, you've got to go to the shops and buy the food, you've got to cook it, you've got to eat it, then you've got to, you know, clean up from it. That's a lot of time. Don't even get me started on the time that we can spend if we give up a bit of social media. So that's one of more reasons. Another one is it helps us focus on God's voice. And so often we think, well, why isn't God speaking to me? But maybe the better question is, what is blocking the voice of God that I'm not able to hear what he's saying? You know, we live in a world of 24/7 distractions around us, and they block our ability to hear God. It can help you with an answer that you're seeking, as, you know, there's a unique sensitivity that comes through prayer and fasting that can help you discern God's will. It can be used when praying for a spiritual breakthrough. This in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. And what happened? Well, you can go on. I'm not going to make you read the whole chapter tonight. You can read that yourself. But it goes on to tell us that they didn't even have to fight. All they had to do was put on their armour, stand there and stand still and watch the Lord give their victory. It can be used when praying for a spiritual breakthrough. Some types of prayer ministry require prayer and fasting. For example, in Mark, when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon in the possessed boy, Jesus said, well, some kinds of demons will only come out through prayer and fasting. We also see in both the Old and the New Testament that new seasons of God's work and favour were preceded by fasting. And now some examples of this were Moses fasting before he received the law, Jesus fasting before the start of his earthly ministry, Paul fasted before the start of his missionary journey, and Nehemiah fasting in getting the walls of Jerusalem rebuilt. He asked for God's favour in his situation. And Nehemiah fasted for the purpose of showing that his desire and need for God's help was greater than his desire and need for food. Now, I'll say that again because that's a really important thing to get from one of the reasons why you fast. He fasted for the purpose of showing that his desire and need for God's help was greater than his desire and need for food. The last reason we fast is to humble ourselves, and we show our total dependence and submission on God's will and purpose in our life and in the life of our church. There's many different types of fasting that you can do. You can do a day fast where you may like to just give up food for the day and just have liquids and then just break the fast at the end with your evening meal. You might want to do a first 21 days of the year fast, especially that's helpful if you're not sure what God's will may be for your life for that year and you're finding you need some guidance, that you do a 21 day fast. You can do a week fast or a fast for Lent, which is the 40 days leading up to Easter, to remember that Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert before he started his earthly ministry. If I do a 21-day fast or a 40-day Lenten fast, it usually comprises of two things to give up. Some poor people this morning thought I meant a 21-day fasting from all food or a 40-day of fasting all food, and they nearly died until I got to this point, which they were a lot happier. So it's giving up two things. And the first is giving up something that I love that may have become a bad habit to me that God may want me to help me break. For example, midnight snacking. I love those chips and chocolates late at night. Or giving up social media or my good old Netflix show binging. Something that's become a bad habit. And the other thing I give up is something that I just love to show my total dependency on God and that he is more important to me than my dependency on these other things that I love. For example, one year that was some sleep. Now, I love my sleep and I hate it if the alarm has to be set for anything earlier than 7. I like it even if it's 7:00, but for me, one year when I did a Lenten fast, I got up at 6:30. I know a lot of people get up at 5 and, you know, that's not a big deal, 6:30. But for me, half an hour of sleep for 40 days was a big thing for me. And being brought up a really strict Baptist, well, like I was, it was really taboo to have anything to do with this Catholic Lent. Oh, my goodness. So it was only a few years ago that I did my first Lenten prayer and fasting. And I must admit, I got a little bit carried away and I decided I'd give up chips, chocolates, lollies, cake, wine, dessert, chocolate, if I didn't say that already, and half an hour of sleep. Now, in hindsight, that was a lot to give up for 40 days. Ask Ian. He had to put up with me. And it was hard. But in those 40 days, God did an amazing work in our family. You see, our daughter Melina, she'd moved to Sydney from Lithgow 2 years before we did so that she could start her degree at the National Arts School. She'd got a job to support herself as a bartender, so she worked Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And so for those 2 years, she'd stopped going to church because she couldn't, because she was working. Then we'd moved to Sydney as well and we all moved back in together. And it was during that first year of being back together that I did this 40 days fast. And during that time, our son Bryce asked, could he have his Bible study group from here at TCBC have life group at our house? And I'm going, sure. So we went out and I came home that night and there in our lounge room was 12 young adults talking, studying the Bible and praying. And there was Melina in the midst of the group. They'd shown the love of Jesus to her and invited her to be a part of it. Then they invited her to go to life group the next week at someone else's house and the next week, which she kept going to. Then they started praying that she'd be able to get a new job where she could work days so that she could start coming to church on Sunday night with them here. She didn't just get any job. She got a job in the art industry, two train stops from our house, which was so totally unheard of. And she continues to be a member of a life group here and come to church here on Sunday nights. Was that Lenten fast worth it? Yes, yes, and yes. Prayer and fasting does work. And I've got so many stories I can tell you of ways, other ways God has worked in our life as a result of prayer and fasting. If you want some good Bible plans to work through as you do it, there's two, on your free Bible app that everyone has on their phone. There's a 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting by the James River Church and the Belmont University Lenten Guide. They're both good ones that I've used. Now, to me, there's no use me being up here talking to you about prayer. You need to have a personal application. Otherwise, you forget everything. I've listened to enough sermons throughout my life to know that, haven't I, Dahl? So I've got a sheet for you to take home. And what I'd like you to do between now and next Sunday when I speak again, I'd like you to spend 10 to 15 minutes alone with God and just work through the five questions of where do you pray? Where do you go to be alone with God? To help you find your rhythm of praying, to help you discover your style of praying, and to look at the importance of prayer and fasting and what God may want you to do with it. So I think the handouts are being handed out now. So please take some time between now and next Sunday to do that. So next Sunday we'll be looking at listening to God talk to us in the second half of this series. So thank you very much for your time.